Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. You're so good to us. And Lord, truly, Lord, your word is alive. Lord, it searches us. Lord, it both cuts, but it heals, it restores, it saves. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you're so good to us. Thank you that you've rescued us. May you just bless the teaching of your word, Lord, for however time we have left here, and may you bless your people. And it is in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up to Hebrews chapter 11. I may go a little fast. Hebrews chapter 11. So I'm just going to read leading up to chapter 11. We're going to do verses 1 and 2, Lord willing. But just as a way of reminder that in our last study, we went over the fourth warning found in the book of Hebrews. And along with the warning, the author also offered up encouragement. And he did so by taking the Hebrew believers, the Jewish believers, back to the very beginning when they were first saved. And listen, it's a good thing to remember when you were first saved. It really is. You go back and you remember, and you're more compassionate also for those that first come to know the Lord, that there's a transformation. People are radically changed. I don't know about you, but I know that when I came to know the Lord, there was a just it just blew me away. And so let's just go ahead and look at God's word, and we'll get into that in a little bit here. Back up a little bit to chapter 10, and it says in verse 35, it says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and not tarry, and will not tarry." Pardon me. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." How's the volume? Need to put it up a little bit? Yeah, why don't we put it up a little bit there, Jimmy? And so, as I said before, we went over the fourth warning and also the encouragement. And the author, he gives this warning, gives the encouragement, and he says to them, remember back to those early days when you first came to Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though you were suffering terrible things. You were ridiculed, beaten, and in your sufferings, you help others who were suffering in the same way. Can you identify with that? Can you remember back when you came to know the Lord, what that looked like? That radical transformation where all of a sudden people is like, are you the same person? What happened to you? Hey, listen, it's good that you're going to church, but you're taking this too serious. You know, you don't want to take that serious. And all of a sudden, what did you see? You see that your friends, little by little, started departing. Why? Because you were saved. This wasn't something you did. This wasn't religion. You came into a relationship with Jesus Christ and it changed everything. And so the author says, remember back. And then he says in verse 35 of chapter 10, he says, do not cast away your confidence in Jesus Christ, which has great reward. Listen, there is great reward in putting our faith and our confidence in Jesus. And then he says, you have need of endurance. Now, I think we can all really grasp that, right? If we're honest with ourselves, honest hearts here, there are times in our walk that it can get difficult. It can get hard. There are times in our Christian walk where we grow weary and we grow tired, where we allow sinful thoughts. We allow the enemy to take a little bit of real estate in our mind. But here's the thing about the enemy. He takes a little bit of real estate and he takes more and more and more. And the next thing we see is, next thing that we find is that we find ourselves distancing ourselves from the Lord. We start believing the lies of the enemy. And what is the cure for that? Jesus. Listen, the Word of God is pure. We go to the Word of God because the Word of God is truth. The enemy, he is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. When he speaks of his own resources. In other words, he's going to speak lies into our lives. And you are a prime target. We are targets. As a Christian, there are times that we're going through such difficulties, whether it's physical, whether it's really in our minds, because the war really is in our minds and the things going on around. But one of the things I want to remind you of when you're going through those times is why? Why are you going through that? Because 95, 99% of the time, you know what's going on in your lives? You're serving Jesus. All of a sudden, you got serious. It's like, I just want to serve Jesus. I want to serve the Lord. You move into ministry. You do whatever it is that you're going to do to serve the Lord. And all of a sudden, you get hit. Why? Because you just entered the battle. Now, if you're not involved in the battle, you know, you're not a threat. But know this, that when you get serious about the Lord, when you say, I'm just going to live out my faith, there's a real enemy that wants to take you down. And so the author tells them, remember at the very beginning, because they were going through hardships, right, persecution and so forth, and they wanted to go back to Judaism. We've discussed this over and over. And he takes them back and he says, remember when you just came to know the Lord and how it didn't matter what you were going through? He says, I don't care what I'm going through. Lord, I'm just going to serve you regardless of what comes my way. And he brings that back to their minds. It is a good thing that we remember. That we remember and we go back to that place. And so they were getting weary. They were getting tired. They wanted to go back to their old lives. And so the author says, remember Jesus. Today, as we gather together here as a church, and we go over the mission trip and we see the work that the Lord is doing, I know that there's many of you in here that are going through some difficult things. It's been a season of hurt and pain and ailments, things of that nature. But in it all, God's hand has been upon this church. The good hand of God has been upon this church. And even in the midst of ailments and things, God has been moving, and even more so. And I would say that so often we grow so much more in those times of difficulties. And so I would just encourage you, you have need of endurance. Keep keeping on. Stay the course. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. And if you are in that place of dryness, who moved? Who moved? Did God move or did you move? The answer is simple, right? God is the same. He has not moved. What happens is we have distanced ourselves from the Lord. So come on back. Come on back. Okay, verse 1. I got 3 minutes. Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. So the first thing the author does in verse 1 is give us the definition of faith. And I like how the Christian Standard Bible translates this verse. In it, it says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. Now, the Greek word used here for substance is defined as thing put under, substructure, foundation. So what does all that mean? It means that you could put all your weight upon it. Like that chair you're sitting on, you're putting all your weight on it. You have faith that that chair is going to stand, that it's going to hold your weight. There's substance. This building, there's a foundation for it. And so that is what this word of substance means. There is a foundation, something you can rest all your weight upon. In other words, something that you believe on, you're going to be confident of. You're going to have complete confidence in it. You can rest your weight on it because it's going to hold you up, and it's something that you can build upon because it has a strong structure, a strong foundation. That is your faith. That is our faith. Listen, faith, there's evidence for it. We have for 10 chapters, the author has been laying out the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He says, this is who he is. And you can put all your faith upon Jesus. He's not going to fail you. Let me give you a simple illustration, and I think we're going to probably leave it there. Let us say you purchased a new home. It's a new build. And so you go over, and what is the first thing you do? You sign a contract, you fill out all your paperwork, and you obtain your funding. And they said, in 6 months, you're going to have your home. 6 months down the line. And so what do? You go and look at the site. And when you go and look at the site, it's an empty lot. There's nothing there. Now, is your faith empty when you bought that home? No, right? There's substance. You know there's going to be a home built there. Everything is set up for it. So you can see in the future that this is going to happen. You trust. And what do? You plan for it. You live as if you're going to move into that home. You sell, you fix up your home if you're going to sell it. You make all these plans. Your wife hits Amazon. And you're like, I'm going to move. Why? Because there's substance behind it. You know that it's not going to be an empty lot for very long. There's substance in your belief. The promise is coming. You know that 6 months from that time, the house will be built and you will receive the promise. And that's our faith. Listen, we're going to receive the promise of God. And so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing and living out what we believe. When we believe God's word, we act like we do. Our lives reflect that. But when we don't believe God's word, then our life also reflects it. Look, the evidence of faith is your life. Does that make sense? The evidence of faith is your life. If there's no change in your life and you continue living in the same fashion, we venture to say, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Because when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, everything changes, guys. Our lives change. It doesn't look the same. And I know, and I love the church. Our church here, as someone said earlier, Judy said earlier, we do outreaches. We go to missions trips. We just live out our lives. We love one another. We reach out to the community. There is substance because we know Jesus is coming back. Amen? Okay, I went over 3 minutes. So we'll pick that up next week. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that, Lord, our faith is not empty. There's substance. Lord, we have your word. 66 books, Lord, written over the span of 1,500 years. One author, which is the Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, your word is true. It's true. And Lord, I just pray that you would use every person here, every man, every woman, every child, for your glory. That, Lord, that Calvary Chapel Estacada, Lord, would be a church known as a church that loves Jesus. Just a radical change in the lives of individual that truly has placed their trust upon you. And may you use this body, Lord, for your glory, for your kingdom. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.